Welcome back for another episode of Bless the She That Believe. We are in season 3, episode 45. Woo, woo, almost a 50. Y'all, I did not know this season was going to extend out like this. And I don't know how much further the Lord wants us to go on this season. This season has been... this season has been... Wow. Like, I don't even know how to explain this season, but this season has been one for the books. I mean, this is the third season in, so it's been different. I'm grateful for every time I get to hop on this podcast. Y'all have no idea how much this has been blessing me, and I pray it has been a blessing to you. But before we get any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Father God, for your tender mercies and your goodness, Father God. Father, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Father God, unto us. Lord, when we weren't faithful, you were, Father God. And I thank you. Thank you for your love, your kindness, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace, Father. And Father, I pray right now for those during this time of the year, Father God, who are struggling. They're struggling with their emotions. They're struggling with their mental state. They're struggling with finances. They're struggling with the loss of a loved one. Father, I pray for your peace over their lives right now. I pray, Father God, that you position them to receive the love that you have for them, Father. Father, strategically place people on their path of this journey called life, Father God, who can show them the love of Christ, who can speak a word into their life. You said in your word that a good word, is, Lord, I know I can't even quote it right now, Father. I'm sorry, Lord, I can't even quote it, but I know a word in due season, how good it is. How good is it? So, Father God, I thank you for the word in due season, Father God, into the hearts of these people. And I pray that you cover them with a special blessing, that you just let them feel warm. Let them feel your warmth. Let them feel your embrace, Father God. Quiet their fears. Calm the voices in their minds, Father. Father, let there be only one voice. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Father God, make their thoughts singular. Father, I pray that you silence the mouth of the enemy on their behalf. Father, keep them in all their ways. Father God, Lord, if they don't even know you, protect them while they're out there, Lord. But lead them to the cross in every step that they take, Father God. Let it be a step in a direction towards you. All of these things we ask in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. One thing I get so mad about myself with is when I'm praying and I jumble the scripture up and I'm like, you know what, Father, I'm sorry. Like, scratch that from the record book. You know, like, I just read that because I told y'all I read a proverb a day. I started reading a proverb a day, and I think this is my third month doing it. And that's what the verse was. Don't ask me what verse it was in. I know it was Proverbs 15, but it says, a word in due season, how good is it? I say how good it is, but how good is it? Sometimes a person can come by at the right moment, at the right time, and give us a word for ourselves that we didn't even know we needed. And it's like that thing will bless your socks off. It'll bless the polish off your toes. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that was the Lord. You know, that's a heaven sent word for specifically for you. And it's such a blessing. And it encourages us and it keeps us through the hard times ahead. So I just hope that, I pray that this podcast does that for you. Even with all of my shenanigans and antics, I pray that you receive a word in due season and that it blesses you and it helps you get through. So make sure you share this podcast with those in need, those like your friends, your family, anybody, share it. You know, I don't really care about the amount of people who listen. Like, I mean, it's cool that I'm almost at 4,000 downloads, but it's more, this is about ministry over anything else. Like, I just want the name of Jesus to be glorified and magnified. Like, that's really, because how could I not? You know, like, how could I not want that when he's the reason why I'm doing this? Everything that goes on with this podcast is because of him. Like, I got ready to start. I said, okay, this is going to be a short podcast because I'm really not feeling my best today. But I was like, I got to get this done because I can't let my listeners down. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this for about 20 minutes. And I started laughing because I'm like, every time I have said this is going to be short, I even said I'm going to do a 15-minute podcast. Man, that thing went like an hour and 5 minutes. Like, the Lord's like, let me show you what's about to happen. No. So I said 20 minutes and we're already in like to 7 minutes. Okay. With a 15-minute prayer, basically. So anyway, I titled this podcast Reminders. And I think, especially during this time, because look, the enemy tried to jump on me. Let me tell y'all something about the enemy. He's relentless and he don't let up. So don't ever think that he's not. No, if it's quiet, just stay on alert. Stay vigilant because enjoy the calm, but just know you got to stay vigilant. You can't let up because he's not letting up. He's constantly after you. He's either after you, your husband, your wife, your children, your mommy, your daddy, your sisters, your brother. He's after somebody connected to you. The Lord might have put his hand up to leave you alone for a little bit to let you get a breather, but he's gonna come after something. Like, he's not gonna let up. So this episode is called Reminders because I feel like sometimes we just need reminders of who God is. And the whole Bible, the word of God, which is alive and is quick and it's like a two-edged sword, the whole Bible is a constant reminder of God's love for us and how he relentlessly pursues us and how he doesn't let up because our enemy ain't letting up. So he doesn't let up, but we forget because I was just literally thinking about this before I hopped on, thinking about what was going on this morning before church. And I'm going to tell you, for the past 2-3 weeks, the enemy has been really attacking me as I'm getting ready for church. Now, this time I'm doing a podcast in the evening. Usually I'll get up. Like I said, I wasn't feeling, y'all, I woke up at like 11:45 last night. I went to sleep early. I was in bed by like 8 o'clock. I woke up at 11:45. Who was up to like 3 o'clock this morning, trying to go to sleep, roll around the bed. And I was like, maybe I should read my Bible. And I was like, nah, that ain't gonna work. I'm gonna try to go to sleep. I met Laura. I was like, if she would just like, listen, she makes things so hard. I don't know why. But yeah, so I really didn't get any sleep. And then my alarm went off at like 5:15 because that's usually the time I would get up. And I usually just come in here with my pajamas on and my bonnet and I'll go ahead and get on the podcast, you know. And I was like, I can't make it this morning. So here I am a couple of hours before the podcast drops, Lord willing. So, but yeah, the enemy was, when I was getting ready for church, attacking my mind. The mind is the battlefield. And that's a very popular book by Joyce Meyer, which I need to get that. I bought it for somebody and gave it to him. I'm like, I should have just kept that book for myself. The Battlefield of the Mind. That's the name of her book. Because the mind is literally a battlefield. And if the enemy can get your mind, you're already defeated, basically. Like, That's why we have to fill every space, every waking moment with the word of God. Like, I know that may sound very overwhelming because it did to me, like growing in Christ and everything, realizing, oh my gosh, I can't do this, you know, but it's like, now, why wouldn't I? Who wouldn't want to serve a God like this? Who wouldn't want to spend every moment in his presence? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. We get to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And once we change that mindset of I have to, or I got to do it, into I get to do it, man, like it's such a pivotal shift. It really is. There's this thing called growth mindset. You may have heard of it. You may not have heard of it. And I want to make sure I give an accurate description. Like, I could give you what I know it to be in my words, but that'll probably confuse the stew out of everybody. So let me pull it up. So the growth mindset, this is more so, I won't say more so for people in, like, for education purposes, like in the education sector, but they do target like education to help with students who feel like they can't do something. Okay, it's like change your mindset, and they use it for teachers also. But growth mindset is the belief that your abilities can be developed through hard work and dedication. It's based on the idea that your basic qualities are things you can cultivate through your efforts. Now, I'm gonna talk about that a little bit. Give me a second. So, people with a growth mindset are more likely to embrace challenges, persist in the face of attacks or setbacks, see effort as the path to mastery, learn from criticism, find inspiration in the success of others, be open to reflect, learn, and grow from challenges, take feedback as a learning opportunity. That sounds like everything in the doggone Bible. That sounds like it come out of one proverb, okay? Like, but I will say this. With the growth mindset, if you will apply the word of God with everything that was just said, because we can't do anything in our own effort. We can't. But we can do all things through Christ. Okay? You see how I just flipped? Okay. So we can't do anything in our own effort, because the Bible says, by grace you were saved, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. That's what the Bible says. I think it's in Colossians or Galatians. It's one. I can't give you the address right now, but don't worry. It's in there. It's in the New Testament. Yeah. For grace, we're saved. It's not in our own efforts. We couldn't save ourselves, because if we could, why did we need Jesus to die on the cross? That's contradictory, right? Okay. So we can't do it on our own. And a lot of times that's where we get into trouble, is because we believe we can do it on our own. Oh, I can resist that sin. I can resist that temptation. No, you can't. Although the Bible says there is no temptation that is taking you such as common to man, but the Bible says flee fornication. You might resist one time with that person, but it ain't gonna be a two time. It ain't gonna be a two timer. You're not gonna resist more than once. You're gonna compromise in some way, shape, or form. And I'm gonna tell you, you might say, no, we were able to sleep in the same room. We did not touch each other at all. Da, 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 da. You thought it. You thought about it when you was going over there. So you already failed. You thought about it after you left. You thought about the stuff that you could have done, but you didn't. So whether you didn't do it physically, you did it mentally. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you, Bible says flee fornication. It didn't say you could fight fornication. It said flee. It's the F word, but it's a different one. Flee fornication. Did not say fight it. Flee. That means run away. Don't even think about it. Just leave. Like, we really will put ourselves in situations thinking, oh, I can do this. I'm strong enough. I got willpower. No, you don't. And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows that. So, y'all, seriously. Embrace challenges. We as believers don't want to embrace challenges. We don't. We want everything to be easy. Well, I thought when I accepted Jesus, it was going to be easy. Who told you that lie? The enemy? Stop listening to him. You see, everything happens in the mind. If you don't know how to embrace challenges in your mind, then every time something hard or difficult comes up, you're going to want to quit. See, it's the mind. So that's why we have to fill up with the word of God. Persist in the face of setbacks. How are you going to persist in the face of setbacks when you can't embrace challenges? It's like everything builds on top of the one another. You have to learn how to embrace, you have to know how to embrace challenges so you can persist in the face of setbacks. Because when you persist in the face of setbacks, you'll be able to see your effort as a path to mastery. Okay, I just got to keep going through this thing because I know I'm going to come out on the other side. But the Bible tells us that, because the Bible tells us in the book of Job, he knows the way that I take. And when I come forth, I come forth as gold. When he has tried me, I come forth as gold. That's what it says in the book of Job. It says that. So it's like I said, I really didn't know what I was coming on here to say tonight. I was like, that's why I was like, it's going to be 20 minutes. But yeah, so there we go. I did not know I was going to be teaching growth mindset, biblical version, but your mind is so powerful. If we really knew how powerful our minds were, we would not be falling into temptation like we do. We would not be giving up and failing these tests like we do. We would be like, if we could just really grasp, believers, if we could really grasp how much power we have. I was thinking about the song that the Lord allowed me to choose this morning. He's able, exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think. According to the power that works in you. It says, according to the power that works in you. He is exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. What does according mean? Well, I'm going to look it up for you. According. Stated by or in. Depending on whether. It depends on the power in you. The Bible has already told us, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is in us. The Bible tells us that. So if God, which I want to say if, since God is exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. So if you got a little bit of power, okay. So you can't really get mad at God. Ha! Woo! You can't get mad at God when you don't see things working in your, when you only see a trickle coming from the faucet instead of seeing the faucet fill it just like a flood. You can't get mad at God when it's just a trickle. It's a drop. Because it's according to the power that works in you. How do you get that power to show up the way it needs to be? Full force, the dunamis power. Dunamis, the Greek word for dynamite. How do you get that explosive power to work in you when you gotta be in your word? That's number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You have to be in your word. You can't expect God's power to work in you in an explosive manner when you barely spend time with him. I don't care if you get one verse and you just meditate. The Bible says to meditate on his word day and night. Get one verse and read that verse every day for a week and just sit on it. I promise you're going to get something out of it. You know how we'll put something in the crock pot. For those of you, the slow cooker. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's, anyway, look it up. We'll put stuff in the crock pot or the slow cooker. And it could be a piece of meat. When you open it up, it's like, where all this juice come from? I ain't really put any juice in there. Where all the juice come from? It's been slow cooking. So all of that kind of just came out of it over time. Some stuff can slow cook for 4 hours. All of that juice marinating with the vegetables. That's making me hungry. Anyway, it's marinating and cooking together and had time to just sit. That's what we're supposed to do with the word of God. And it says meditate on the word day and night. Supposed to just let the word sit. I know some people read the Bible in a year. Kudos for you. I can't get out of the Old Testament. I barely touch the New Testament. I mean, I'll go in the New Testament, but let me tell you something about that Old Testament. That Old Testament got me in a chokehold. I guess I'm an Old Testament girl because it's so much in the Old Testament to glean from. I can't even, I'm surprised I got out of the book out. I'm surprised I got out of the book of Psalms. Cause listen, them Psalms had me hemmed up, man. I mean, on my face crying over one verse in the Psalms, like, Psalm 27 and verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Let me tell you something. That thing had me on my face like 2 weeks. Okay. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was a couple of days. Okay. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Y'all. That right there, I mean, come on. You gotta meditate. You have to feel, I cannot emphasize this enough. You have to stay in the Word of God. You gotta stay in the Word. You gotta stay in the Word. Like, it's life or death. Like, seriously, we're about to go into a time period of uncertainty. It's already starting to shift. People are starting to shake in their boots. Like, it's, but the Bible says, do not fear. He says, behold, I have told you this before. Like, I already done told y'all all this. Like, he's like, do not fear. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, there are many men. Listen, don't let me, child. Says, do not fear. He's told us that so many times. Do not fear. Do not fear. But if you're not in his word, you're going to fear. Says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's like, if God be for me, who can be against me? See, you can't say those things if you aren't in your word. Like this morning, like I said, the enemy was beating me up. I was crying before the Lord. I was like, Lord, you promised. And then I was like, hold up. If you were able to keep your promise to this person, if you were able to keep your promise to that person, if you were able to keep your promise to this person, like just naming off people from the Bible, like if you were able to keep your promise to them, why wouldn't you keep your promise to me? You know, and then I started talking it out, rationalizing, you know, like just talking it out, like getting myself, when I say rationalizing, I mean like snapping myself back into it. Like, hold up, why are you crying about this? Hold up. No, we're not about to do this. We're not about to let the enemy have a field day with us before we go to church. Like, no, we're not doing that. You know, because it's a smoke screen. I literally was just saying this to myself. Like, the enemy sets up smoke screens in our lives with situations. He'll set up smoke screens so you can't see what's going on. Just like you have a magician with the sleight of hand. A magician might set up a smoke screen and you think you seeing something, but it's really over on the other side. Like, it's an illusion. I was at my family's home yesterday with my cousins. My cousin invited me and my mom over to eat. And, which we gonna eat. That's one thing we all gonna eat. The food was so good. Oh my gosh. The food was so good. I ate all the rest. Anyway, I'm sorry, y'all. I got distracted. But we're over there and we were playing games. One of my older cousins, he was doing the cup game. I don't know if y'all seen like where street people do the cups. They have the three cups and they put money underneath one cup and then they move the cups around real fast. So that requires you to be able to focus. Like, you got to have hyper focus to see and not get distracted with what he's doing with the other cups. You got to keep your eye on the cup that has the money, because once you lose focus on that cup, you're messed up. You won't find it. You're not going to find it. And that's how the enemy does with us. It's like, he gets us so super focused on what he's showing us that we don't see what he's doing with the other things. We're distracted. It's a distraction tactic. And it's like, hold up. wait a minute. And once you catch on to that, it's like, use the word. The word is a sword. The word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts asunder. We fight with the word of God. That's one of our weapons. That's one of our weapons. We got a helmet of salvation. We have our feet covered with the gospel of peace, loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, and we have the sword of the spirit. You got to sling your sword. You got to wield your sword. And the only way you're going to be able to wield it is if you have an arsenal built up of the word. The Bible has said a couple of times how the word describing God or either describing Jesus, and it says a fire went out of his mouth because that's the word of God, or a sword. He was described as having a sword coming out of his mouth. That's the word of God. That's the word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat the fruit of it. Like, that is the word of God. That's why when you fill up on the word of God, it flows through you like rivers of living water. Because you have filled yourself up so much with the word, that's all that's going to come out of your mouth. You want that to happen. Because if you let you come out your mouth, you're going to mess some stuff up. Trust me. So, like I said, this episode is called Reminders. And I'm coming from Isaiah 41. Now, I will say this. In your own time, read Isaiah 41, Isaiah 42, 43, 44, and 45. Just take your time. Take your time. Because it's so much. I think it was last summer, I got stuck in Isaiah. And I could not get out of these chapters. Like, I was stuck in I was stuck in Isaiah last year. But it's funny. I remember, like, 2022, summer 2022, I was in Elijah. I was in 1 Kings. I was stuck in 1 Kings and I was in Job. And last year I was in Psalms, the book of Psalms, and Isaiah. And like, this year has been different. It's been like, I've been all over the place this year, just like searching and studying and just looking. And so, yeah. Isaiah 40, chapters 41 through 45, like, definitely read those in your time. But Isaiah 41, we're going to start with verse 10. I'm going to read the King James and then I'm going to go to the Amplified. Verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Yeah, that's all I wanted to read, because look, if I keep reading, we're going to end up reading off all the chapters. The Amplified Version, starting at verse 10. "Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous hand, my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation. Indeed, all those who are angry with you will be put to shame and humiliated. Those who strive against you will be as nothing and will perish. You will search for those who quarrel with you, but will not find them. They who war against you will be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, keep hold of your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Whew, that is so packed. Basically, so I'm gonna say this. I think it was last week before last, I can't remember. I had a lot of conflict at both my jobs, and it was the same thing. It's like, man, this person at this job is coming at me for this, and this person at this job is coming at me for this. I'm like, okay, this is spiritual. Either way, it's spiritual. Like, and here's the thing, when it's actually really funny, because it's not funny, haha. It's just, I think it's ironic. Like, when I start getting attacked on my job, I'm like, the Lord getting ready to do something. Like, I automatically know, okay, something getting ready to happen. Something is getting ready to happen because I go to work, I do my job, I go home. That's it. So for people to come against me for things that don't make sense, can't be explained, it's like, no, this is, the Lord is allowing this for a reason. And I just give all glory, honor, and praise to Him for it. And it doesn't make it pleasurable to work. Like, it doesn't make it like, oh, I'm enjoying going to work. It really doesn't. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to minister through teaching. That's what I do. You know, like, and when I say minister, I'm not teaching the kids the Bible or anything, because, you know, we can't do that. But my ministry is to reflect the love of Jesus. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, to be honest, every teacher is a minister. It just depends on what you're teaching. So that's a gift. That's, it says teachers, like it's in 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 12, like when they go do gifts of the Spirit, teaching is a gift of the Spirit. So teaching really is a calling. And anyway, but yeah, I mean, I couldn't even explain, like, especially at my primary job, it was like, where is this dude coming from? Hey, dude, bruh, where, you all right? You good? No, you're not. You pray for him. You pray for your enemies. When I read these verses before I hopped on, I'm like, man. And the thing is, when people are coming against you and you know it's an attack from the enemy, you really need to pray for people. Like, did you not hear what was in these scriptures? The Lord says, indeed, all those who are angry with you will be put to shame and humiliated. Like, I wouldn't want that for anybody. I don't care. You could be my worst. I wouldn't want that for anybody. Those who strive against you will be as nothing and will perish. You shall search for those who quarrel with you, but will not find them. Those, they who war against you will be as nothing at all. We're in a day and age where no one can afford to, like, be fired. No one can afford not to have a job. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, I already told y'all the story about the girl who tried to curse me and, like, what happened with her. Like, I prayed for her so hard. I prayed for her child. Like, I prayed, like, that's why we're supposed to pray. But let me tell you this. I'll tell you this. The Bible says in Proverbs, don't ask me what chapter and verse right now. I can't think of it. But it literally says, if you take pleasure in people who, like, if you have somebody who's, like, warring against you and fighting against you, and you see the Lord starting to, like, execute judgment and justice on that person, it says, do not take pleasure in that, because the Lord will see it and He'll turn His anger from them. Like, we don't take pleasure in other people's miseries and self and destruction. We don't, no, not at all. Like, pray for them. That's why the Bible tells us to pray for those who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. But see, we get so stuck in our feelings that we're like, no, they deserved it. Who? Shut your mouth. They deserve it. Well, what about the stuff that you did that you need to deserve punishment for, that God held His hand back from? Be careful what you say. Be careful about your heart posture, because even if you don't say it, God still sees what you're thinking in your heart. So be careful. I'm just telling you, be careful. And let me tell you, immediately when these people at my job started coming against me, I was like concerned. I was like, Lord, I've seen what you've done before. Please, Father, please, please have mercy on them. Cause it's that serious. I've seen it. I'm not sitting here saying, I have seen it. They have said, it's just like in Esther with Haman. Haman was so gung-ho about killing the Jews and about getting rid of Mordecai that he started setting the gallows up. I'm going to hang Mordecai off of these gallows. I'm going to set him up, and then I'm going to hang him off the gallows I have built for him. And guess what happened to Haman? The gallows he built to hang Mordecai off of, they hung him off the gallows that he built for somebody else. People, the enemy will use people. I mean, it's the same thing. Like I said, that woman who tried to curse me, she ended up saying, and y'all, it was so creepy. It was so creepy. She ended up saying, "Too bad I won't live to see it." That's usually not the phrase people use. They would usually say, "Too bad you won't live to see it." She said, "Too bad I won't live." Like, y'all, and she's not here. She's not. So the enemy will blind these people so much, they'll be so hell-bent on your destruction, they're actually setting that demon that's in them is actually setting them up to take them on their own selves out. It's actually setting them up for their own downfall, actually setting them up to just obliterate everything that they've created for themselves. Like, it's crazy. But God said he would confound the enemy. That's what he said. He said that. He said, "I'll confuse the enemy." It's been several occasions in the Bible where the Lord told whoever was in charge, Joshua, somebody, "Hey, do this, do that, and that's all y'all do." Children of Israel obey, and God causes their enemies to scatter before them, or either causes the enemies to fight against each other, and they end up killing each other, and the children of Israel just standing there like, "We didn't even have to fight for nothing." Nope. All you had to do was obey. How do we obey? By staying in his word. We obey by staying in his word. This is your reminder to stay in the word of God. I know Christmas is getting ready to come up, and then we got New Year's Eve, New Year's, and everybody want to make New Year's resolutions and stuff. Look, I don't know about resolutions. Resolutions get broken. Promises get broken, except for the promises of God. But if you don't do anything else, if you don't do anything else, make sure you stay in the word. Stay in the word and study the word of God. Make sure you study the word of God. The Lord will confound. He said in verse 11, "Behold, all they that were incensed against you, all those who were angry and with you shall be ashamed and confounded." That means they shall be confused. It says they shall be as nothing. Like, you don't have to fight. All you need to do is speak the word over your situation. If you could really grasp that the word is all you need. This is all you need. The word of God. And I'm speaking to myself too. We think we need money. I mean, we do, but the Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God. If we really trusted that verse, we wouldn't be as concerned about finances as we are. It's just the fact that this is all we see. Like I said earlier, it's a smoke screen. This physical world is all we see. So therefore we think that's all there is. And that's not true. There's more behind the smoke screen. You got to pray and ask God for discernment to see past what you're seeing, so that way you'll actually be able to see beyond what you physically see. Like, I know that may sound crazy, but seriously, pray for God to give you ears to hear and eyes to see. Ask the Lord to give you his eyes so you can see the situation through his eyes. I promise you it's going to change your life. I promise you that. Whew. These are your reminders. These are the reminders. I want you to remember these things. Go and read chapter 41, verses 10 through, I can't even remember all the verses I read, 10 through 13. He says, "Do not fear anything. He's with us. Do not be afraid. He's our God. He will strengthen us. He will help us. He will take hold of us with his righteous right hand." That's seven things right there. Then he says, "Everybody who's angry with you will be put to shame and humiliated. Those who strive against you or fight against you will be as nothing and will perish. You will search for those who quarrel with you, but will not be able to find them. They who war against you will be as nothing at all." He's our Lord. He's our Lord God. And he keeps hold of our right hand. He's the Lord who says to us, do not fear. He will help us. Like, those are, that's a bunch of reminders. They're like probably 15 reminders right there. If you can't remember anything else, just remember, he's my God. He's my God. Like, this morning, all I could get out was, you promised me, you promised me, you promised me. Because he did. He's not a God that he should lie. And I'm like, you promised me. You promised this person, you promised that person, you promised that. You're not going to break your promise to me. That was a reminder to myself. So just go forth this week with that. I told y'all I was going to keep it short. Praise the Lord. The Lord let me keep it short today. Go forth with that this week. Don't be afraid. I'm not afraid. He's my God. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. He said it right. He said, be assured I will help you. You don't have to worry about if God is going to help you. And what is worrying going to do anyway? You can't add an inch to your height with worry. You can't. You can't. Worrying is not going to do anything for you but stress you out and put you in a hospital or a grave. That's it. Or you're going to put on some pounds by eating because you stress eating. Either way, it's going to put you in a hospital or the grave. Stop worrying. He's got it. He's got it. If you got problems on your job, it says it right here. Those who are angry with you are going to be ashamed and humiliated. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for those who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. Pray for them. These are your reminders. Go forth this week in strength. Go forth this week in power. Go forth this week in love. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I'll talk to y'all later. Bye.